Let's begin.
This is the Boss.
I'm the Boss.
And the Gloss.
Check out my lip gloss. I only rock clear.
On SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Here are your hosts, David Gao and Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my pocket. You got that good soul.
1-800-224-2004 if you want to be a part of the second hour with us here as we talk more sports. But we continue the conversation directly right now about what are the worst corporate chain restaurants. Applebee's sits firmly in the one spot, right? Like, I hate Red Lobster because I had a personal experience with Red Lobster with some food poisoning that didn't go so well. But I'm trying to think of others that fit in the, and no fast food, like Taco Bell. You can't say Taco Bell, even though Taco Bell is both delicious and disgusting at the same time. You feel like a worse person after you eat Taco Bell, even though it feels so good while you are eating it. But, like, people, Andrew, you brought this up. People like to lump Chili's in with Applebee's.
Ridiculous.
Which is silly. I mean, Chili's is tolerable. At worst, it's tolerable. At best, it's okay. It's not any better than okay. Let's be honest about that. But it's not any worse than tolerable either. Applebee's is, the only reason to go to Applebee's is because they have drink specials on a Monday night and you're in college.
$1 margaritas?
Something like that, where it's nothing but Everclear and sweet and sour mix. It's like a half shot of Everclear and then sour mix. And you got to buy 10 of them to get drunk and have the worst stomach ache you've ever had in your life. That's the only reason to go there. Again, you better be of college age if you're doing it. I mean, where does TGI Fridays fit in that spectrum?
I've only been a couple of times.
Me too. That's why I'm asking the question.
I think it's got to be in the top five of bad spots list, though.
You think so?
I think so.
I mean, like I like an Outback Steakhouse. That's not bad. Bloomin' Onion. I'm like a Bloomin' Onion. Come on. All right, we'll get back to sports on the other side. Thanks for tuning in. This is SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back to SB Nation Radio. Craig Koshkin filling in here on a Monday night. If that sound you heard during the commercials was Alex Gold clapping. Yeah, you probably hear it through the airwaves over the commercial. That's how loud he was.
Oh, 100%. You had a little hooping and hollering in there, too.
Oh, geez. The Chiefs are up 7-3. Let's not get ahead of ourselves here. Phillip Rivers threw a horrible interception, which the Chiefs then converted into 6 points and an extra point. That makes 7 if my math is correct. One of the big things that happened this weekend was the Colin Kaepernick workout. And I'm about to give you my thoughts on that, but before I do, I want to set some background on this just so you understand where I'm coming from when I talk about this. Personally, this is my personal opinion, I am all for Colin Kaepernick taking a knee or doing whatever he wants during the national anthem to try to bring to light the injustices that minorities face when it comes to police and how they're policed versus how white people are policed. If he feels that's an issue and feels he wants to take a knee for it, that is his right. That is his right to do so. That is the reason why people fight. It is not disgracing America. It's not un-American. If anything, it is hyper-American to utilize the rights. What good are the rights that people fight for if you're not going to utilize them? On the flip side, I actually support the owners and their right to choose not to employ someone who might hurt their bottom line. If they feel like they will lose more season tickets and ticket sales and concession sales and jersey sales and everything by hiring Colin Kaepernick, I feel it is their right not to do so. Up until the point where they violate the league's collusion rules, which the NFL has already been sued by Colin Kaepernick. They settled out of court. Colin Kaepernick got an undisclosed amount of money. Allegedly, it was around $10 million, which I'm surprised they even settled if they were only going to pay him $10 million. I felt like if Colin Kaepernick were going to win that case, he was going to get the equivalent of signing a major long-term deal at the quarterback position, which we're talking about $100 million or something from that. But we don't know what the actual number is, so I can't speculate on that. So, but again, I support the owner's right not to hire the guy. We live in a free market society. It does not infringe upon Colin Kaepernick's First Amendment rights. That protects you from the government, not from private entities, up until the point where they violated the league's collusion rules. At that point, they have a problem because those are rules that are collectively bargained that they violated and thus had to pay Colin Kaepernick. Fine. So now that you know my background on this, this weekend Colin Kaepernick had a workout scheduled in Atlanta at the Falcons practice facility where allegedly all 32 teams were going to be represented. Well, Jerry Jones came out late Friday or early Saturday and basically said, we're not sending anyone. And some other teams followed suit. And then the day of the workout arrives, and the NFL asked Colin Kaepernick to sign what looked like a typical indemnification waiver, which basically said, you're working out in an NFL facility. If you get hurt, you can't sue us. That is totally normal for any of this stuff. If you get invited into a private workout by an individual team, they're going to make you sign one of those. However, there's allegedly, I haven't seen it, so I can't speak to this, but allegedly there was more to the waiver saying that, well, if you don't get signed this time after this workout, you can't sue the league for collusion again. Colin Kaepernick said, nah. Oh, yeah, and there's a little thing about them not letting the media in to tape the workout either, to use highlights or broadcast it directly or anything like that. Which, look, if you're already distrusting of the NFL and they're not going to broadcast your workout, I get, look, one thing I will say about this, they are doing something for you that they've never done for anyone else. And obviously there's a lot of special circumstances for that. So there's one reason to look at the NFL lightly, politely here. And then they decide to say no media, which is an absolute joke. Please, stop. Stop. You telling me you can't have the media in there to do what anyone else would do during a workout and throw against air? All that tells me is you're scared he's going to look good throwing against air, which any quarterback who's trying to make it in the NFL should look competent at that rate anyway. But you don't want it advertised, because if he does look good and doesn't get signed, it's another black eye for the league. And then on top of that, you want him to waive his right to sue you again for collusion in a workout you organize when it turns out of the people represented there that were going to see it, there were zero high enough within their organization to even organize a private workout should they have liked what they had seen from Colin Kaepernick. Bush League NFL. Absolute Bush League. That is not okay. The NFL's wrong here. And then they try to get people to flip the narrative that Colin Kaepernick is being a diva and wants to change this to his own backup location where only a handful, I think only four teams showed up, and he's a diva because he didn't accept your terms. Nah, look, I was okay with them organizing it on short notice. I was, because you're creating a special circumstance for somebody. That's fine by me, and generally speaking, but all these extra things that come out make the NFL look so bad in this. I mean, if you just don't want to sign the guy, don't sign the guy. Just continue keeping him out of the NFL. Yes, he's blackballed. Your court case against him has already been settled. He can't sue you for the same thing again. But now that you've opened him back up and then tried to keep him from suing you again, and he's not going to get signed again, he can sue you again now.
It made zero sense for me from the NFL perspective, because this situation, whether you like it or not, had basically been closed.
People could still be mad, but had pretty much resigned themselves to the fact that Colin Kaepernick was never going to play again.
Exactly.
You could be mad about it. You could be upset. You could throw your hands up and say he was blackballed, which he was. You can do all that stuff, but people had largely accepted that fact. And yes, the people who were happy about it were super happy that he was never going to play again. By the way, there were people who actually protested his workout. How little of a life do you have to go out to Atlanta? You may have lived there, but whatever. To go out to a private workout and protest Colin Kaepernick working out. Stop. I mean, the whole thing is a black eye for the NFL. And there are certain people, certain personalities who have gone off and said, well, I don't think Kaepernick really wanted to play. And I think those are valid things. Those are valid points to bring up. I think there's a case to be made for that. We don't know that. Because if you ask Colin Kaepernick to his face, he's going to say, yes, I want to play. I think he has to continue saying that for the rest of his life. I think he has to continue saying that. Even if he feels like he's doing better by not playing and doing the good he's doing in his community. Even if he's viewed as a guy who wasn't good enough anymore to do it. I think he has to always say that. And I don't mean everybody viewed him as that, but that was the perception of those who think he should not get any more chances. You either stand on one or two. One is he's good enough, but he's not worth all the baggage, or he just wasn't good enough anymore. I firmly believe that when he was still a part of the league, or still really trying to be a part of the league before this took off, that one, he probably wasn't worth the media circus that came with him. And two, I think he was asking for too much money. I do believe that. I don't think he was willing to take $1 million to go be a backup. He wanted starters' money. And why shouldn't he? He was a starter in the NFL when he left. And save me that he opted out of his contract stuff. The 49ers were going to be able to cut him with no hit to the cap had he not opted out of his contract anyway. It doesn't matter. But this whole weekend was a sham. I think you have actually rallied some people who were kind of on the fence about this. I think they are firmly in Colin Kaepernick's hand. Now, there are people on both sides. If you're a Kaepernick guy or a league guy on this one, you're not going to move. You're not going to change because of what happened this weekend. But anyone who is straddling the fence cannot possibly look at this objectively and say, the NFL got it right. There's no objective way to look at that. If you think the NFL got it right this weekend with what they did, by all means, please call in and tell me how you could possibly think that way. 1-800-224-2004. Did the NFL get it right with Colin Kaepernick? I say no. Most people with a brain say no. But if you say yes, I'll listen. I'll hear your side. I'm probably going to tell you you're wrong as soon as you're done, but I'll listen to you. Thanks for spending your time with us. This is SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gal and Carla Dawson.
Craig Koshkin filling in for Mr. Gal and Ms. Dawson tonight. Been a fun time. Andrew Carlson sitting here. I'll be back in on Wednesday evening filling in for Alex Gold. Andrew and I will have A lot more to bring you during now in that 3 hours. That'll be a good old time. We'll get to react to the college football playoff rankings. We finally be a lot of NBA going on. Talk about James Harden and how awesome he is. And if you don't like him, that's your problem. You need to get over it. Oh, he goes to the free throw line too much. So, stop fouling him. Stop fouling him. Why do we care that he goes to the free throw line too much? It's only a problem if he doesn't make his free throws. Improve visibility and save money to O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stop by for their See Better, Drive Safer sale, where you can earn a $15 gift card after mail-in rebate when you purchase either Sylvania headlight bulbs or Bosch Focus or Trico Titan wiper blades. They'll even install your wiper blades for free while you wait. Don't risk your safety because of poor visibility. Let the professional parts people at O'Reilly help you find just what you need. Now, Andrew, there was a controversial new rule in the NFL at the start of the year. And I said it at the time, it was an overreaction to the worst no call in the history of the NFL playoffs. But they decided that this year would be the year that pass interference would be able to be challenged. And we've seen it. The refs largely refuse to even consider changing calls. And we saw it yesterday, specifically in the Texans-Baltimore Ravens game. While the game is still 0-0 on a 4th-and-2, Deshaun Watson does what he does and made about a million people miss in the backfield because his offensive line's terrible. And threw a ball to a streaking open DeAndre Hopkins, who was then, for lack of a better phrase, tackled as he was lunging for the ball. A ball he more than likely would have caught, was certainly catchable in that regard. And no flag. Just a horrendous job officiating. Bill O'Brien does what any coach would do with obvious pass interference, challenges the call. He probably knows in his head it's a waste of a challenge. Look, he's already missed on a pass interference against the Chiefs early in the season where Travis Kelce set a pick of all picks to open up a wheel route for a big 80-yard play. It wasn't quite a touchdown, but it was 60 or 80 yards, something like that. And the refs come back and say, nope, call on the field stands. And that was kind of the call. Look, it's been happening all season, but that was kind of the call that united all football fans against this asinine rule in that we can challenge pass interference. One, it shouldn't be challenged. But two, when are the refs going to be held accountable for getting these calls right? I mean, honestly, I hate being the guy to bag on officiating. But you know what? We live in a world of slow motion, high definition, ultra close zoom in cameras where we can see everything. Refs used to be able to hide behind standard definition and non widescreen TVs. Oh, sorry, that was just out of the frame. Can't see it. We can't really zoom in. The resolution's just not quite good enough. He could be out of bounds, but he's probably So we won't give the ref flack. You don't get to hide anymore, officials, except they do get to hide because the NFL doesn't punish them. And I get it. You can't suspend or fire a guy because they miss one call. To err is human. I 100% get that. But when you repeatedly get the calls wrong, and on these pass interference reviews, spit in the face of a rule because of your own stupid ego, because your own referee missed the most obvious, I'm sorry, referees, there were two of them right there, missed the most obvious pass interference in the history of pass interference calls in the NFC Championship game that, if called, likely means the Saints are playing in the Super Bowl against the Patriots last year rather than the Rams. Because of that ego, you refuse to overturn obvious calls. And Ravens fans miss me with the, well, it wouldn't have made a difference in the score talk. I get it. It was a blowout. It wouldn't have made a difference in the score. That doesn't mean the refs get to be bad at their job because a game's a blowout. Sorry. And, well, what happens when you're on the beneficial side of that? Sorry. One, I don't have a rooting interest in the NFL. But two, I would much rather them get it right than be on the beneficial side of terrible calls. Sorry. Just get it right. If refs are too old and they're getting too many calls wrong, fire them. Go take someone from the college ranks. I promise you someone there wants an NFL job. Someone there wants the, what, $300,000 a year they get for reffing the NFL? It's something like that. I don't know what the number is, but it's somewhere in there. Who doesn't want six figures for that? And for most of them, it's a second job. Most of them are lawyers or engineers or whatever they do from 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. Or better yet, NFL, hire full-time referees so that they can work on their craft. But I'm sick and tired of letting them get away scot-free. You know what? Make them answer questions after games. Make them go to the same podium you make players and coaches go to. Make them answer for their bad calls. Even if they just say, well, I just missed that one. I'd rather hear him say it. I'd rather hear him say it than get that Tuesday call from the NFL saying, sorry, guys, the refs missed this call. But guess what? That ref's still going to be reffing next Sunday. If you do punish referees, or if you do have a point system that you go by to see who gets what, be transparent about it. Give out the grades each week. Grade the officials. Make it public knowledge. So that way, when we get to the playoffs and you say, well, these are the best refs, we can go back and look at those reports and see if they really are the best refs. Or are they the most convenient refs for you to get to each individual location? Or is your best just not good enough? Do you need to go train more officials? Do we need more alternates so that when you do have to suspend someone for not being good enough at their job? Look, going back to that NFC Championship game, if I in my day job, under the brightest lights, do the worst I can possibly do at my job, I get fired. If I'm a sales guy and I have the biggest pitch I've ever had to a billion-dollar company and I just completely blow the pitch and give our company no chance to land that account, I'm going to get fired. At the very least, I'm going to get reprimanded for it. But not NFL referees, or at least not to our knowledge. We don't know. With the way we consume sports these days, and this isn't just another thing. I think Major League Baseball umpires are the worst. They are the absolute worst about it. But if with the way we consume sports and the way technology is available to us and pictures available to us, and we can see these mistakes and they're under a microscope now, you have an obligation to get it right. I get it. You're making billions of dollars anyway. You don't care. The NFL is not immune to have its fan base fall off. It's not. And it may take two decades. But between the presumption that the game is not as tough as it was anymore, the rules are too favorable to the offense, and a bunch of refs not good enough at their job, you could see the NFL. I mean, not next year, not 2 years from now. Could I see in 20 years where the NFL viewership is less? You're already seeing declining attendance at stadiums because the experience is just better on your couch. Could that start to trickle into, you know what? Instead of watching an NFL game, maybe I'll watch this Premier League game on a Saturday. I can get a Premier League game done in 2 hours. NFL is going to cost me at least 3.5. It's not going to be tomorrow. It's not going to be the next day. Might be 20 years. But the NFL is not immune. On the other side, we're going to talk a little basketball with Andrew, Houston Rockets and everything. This is SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Craig Koshkin sitting in here on a Monday night, O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Still a Monday night football game going on in Mexico City. Our very own Darren Smith. What's going on in Estadio Azteca?
Well, right now, I'm hoping you can hear me because it's extremely loud out here. But the Chiefs are taking a 10-6 lead. This closing out the first half. The Chiefs, of course, got on the board thanks to a 6-yard touchdown run by LeSean McCoy and then a Harrison Butker field goal just about 3 minutes ago to put the Chiefs up 10-6. Of course, the two scores from the Los Angeles Chargers come from 27 to 26 yard field goals, respectively, by their kicker Badgley. And right now, Phillip Rivers is diving on the 40 yard line. He's going back to pass, and the ball is tipped up. Well, up and complete. It's 25 seconds left, and the Chiefs are leading 10-6. But the Chargers are, they're not driving towards the end zone right now. So we'll see whether or not they can score before the end of the first half.
Thanks. Thanks, Darren. Appreciate your help here. Man, what were you telling me, Andrew, during the break? The Chargers have 300 yards of offense and only 6 points to show for it?
Just about, yeah.
And another missed field goal. They could have 9, but they can't put it in the end zone. They're driving here, and they got a silly hands-to-the-face penalty that pushed them back 10 yards. The Chargers are the textbook definition of inconsistency in the NFL this year. It's really just, I thought they were Super Bowl caliber, legitimately. I mean, I thought they were one of the two or three best teams in the entire AFC. And frankly, when they're on their A game, they still can be. They really can be. They just haven't been able to put it together, even for entire, it's not even a week-to-week thing. It's like a quarter-to-quarter thing where they just can't put it all together. It's so weird. I don't know. But I want to talk a little NBA before we wind down here on the program tonight. And I was going to talk about a broader look at the NBA, and we can still discuss that some, but I want to address something because I saw another tweet about this as we were in the break. As the misconception that James Harden is a regular season player. Do you know what he averaged against the Golden State Warriors last season in the playoffs?
I believe it was around 35 points.
34.8, 7 rebounds, 5.5 assists, 44% from the field. Look, tell me he can't lead. There's some evidence to that. Tell me that style of play doesn't work in the playoffs when you get less possessions and the percentages don't work themselves out of the same. I would argue that's the reason that I would argue the same thing in baseball. When you're talking about 162, you can play the averages and everything because over 162 games, it evens out. When you're talking about a series, you got to win 4 out of 7. Sometimes the averages don't work in your favor. But James Harden is a complete basketball player. Not complete in the sense that he's some kind of great defender, because he's not. And the Chargers just got real lucky to clock the ball with 1 second left. They got a friendly clock operator there. I'm just saying, if this game were in Kansas City and not in Azteca, that clock would have run out. And I don't think it would have got overturned on replay either. I'm just saying. Just throwing that out there. But back to James Harden. Look, I don't mean he's complete in the sense that he's a two-way player, although his defensive efficiency numbers have gotten much better over the last 2 years. He's still, even when he was not a very good on-ball defender, was really good at help-side defense and getting steals off the backside. He's not a great rebounder because he's typically releasing, and the Chargers nail a field goal to make it 10-9 at halftime. He's usually releasing to get up the court and get out in transition. So he's not a great rebounder. But he is the most unique scorer we have ever seen in the NBA. And I mean that. I'm not saying he's better than Jordan or LeBron. He is not the shooter that Steph Curry is, although he's a really good shooter. But he's not the shooter Steph Curry is. He also doesn't play off the ball like Steph Curry does. He doesn't move without the ball. When Russell Westbrook is doing his thing, or someone else. He doesn't move without the ball like Steph Curry does. But to me, I think the most impressive thing about James Harden and why the Rockets are going to contend this year is because possession for possession, you know exactly what he wants to do. All he wants to do is get to his left hand, whether it means step back jumper, hesitation, get to the rim, finish, and probably get fouled and go to the free throw line, and then you cry about that. Haters. Haters. All he wants to do is get to his left, and he can get to it anytime he wants to, no matter how you play him defensively. But he dribbles the air out of the ball. Every single dribble he has a purpose. He is testing something about your defensive posture, your alignment, your team's team defensive strategy, how they move when he makes a move. He's not dribbling for the sake of dribbling. Every dribble has a purpose. The only thing that's going to hold this Rockets team back is there's only two things that can hold them back. One is Russell Westbrook continuing to take 18 to 20-foot jumpers. Mike D'Antoni has an ulcer grow every single time he does that. And two, the West is just really good. I mean, this is going to be another year where the difference between the 2 seed and the 8 seed is going to be like 4 games. There's going to be 10 or 11 teams vying for that, or there's going to be 3 or 4 teams vying for that last spot, or really the last 2 spots going into the last week of the NBA season. I mean, you've got teams like the Suns who are playing out of their mind early in the season. You've got teams like the Kings who have improved year over year for about the past 3 seasons trying to get there. You've got a team like the Mavericks who have made some key moves and gotten a lot better, playing really good. We've also got some teams like Portland who are playing below what their talent level is right now. Then there's the Nuggets, the Jazz, the Lakers, the Clippers. The list goes on in the West. Whoever finishes 11th in the West, I'm convinced would be no worse than the 6th seed in the East. Because who's really in the East at this point? The Bucks. Celtics are playing great. The Nets? The Magic?
I'd throw the Raptors in there.
The Raptors will always, until they dismantle the core that they have, will always contend there. Anything else? The Pistons? No.
Maybe the Pacers? Maybe.
The Pacers play above their talent, that's for sure. They play a very nice brand of basketball.
But at most, that's, what, 6 competitive, strong, or strong-ish teams.
But even that, who can win an NBA title, or even play for an NBA title? I don't think the Raptors can this year. The Raptors are a decent enough team, but I don't think they can play for an NBA title. The Celtics certainly can. The Nets will be able to once Kevin Durant comes back next season. The Bucks for sure, although they let one of their key pieces go in the offseason because they didn't want to pay him. Legitimately, who are you going? Who's going to be competitive in the East? I just don't really see it. And while meanwhile in the West, you've got basically everybody except for the Thunder contending for a playoff spot. Maybe the Pelicans as well. Pelicans should be in the East anyway. They really should. Are you a proponent, Andrew, of just seeding the top 16 teams in the league?
I am.
You have to balance the schedules if you're going to do that so that everyone plays the same schedule. But is that something you'd like to see the NBA do?
I would, just because the conferences have become so lopsided over the past, I wanted to say 5 years, but realistically it's the past decade plus.
Since about, look, even when the Bulls started winning their 6 out of 8, even then it was, by that point, it was Bulls, Knicks, Pacers. That's it. The Celtics weren't any good anymore. The Cavs had had their little run in the 80s. The Sixers were terrible at that point in time. The Magic for 1 year when Penny and Shaq put it together. I mean, the East wasn't anything special then either. I don't know. I mean, again, all you got to do is make sure you go balance schedules, and then you can do it. And I'd be for it. I really would. But the second you do that, you kind of lose the luster of the All-Star game, All-Star weekend altogether. Man, that's a tough one.
From a competitive balance standpoint, I'm absolutely for it.
Yeah.
But from a more of a tradition standpoint, and I do like a lot of some of the traditions we have across sports.
Here's the big problem. It's not even about East versus West. All of the West Coast, all the Western Conference teams are in warm weather cities. There are almost no warm weather cities. Orlando and Miami are it. Oh, Miami is also playing pretty well early in the season. I left them out in the East, to be fair. They're sitting at 9-3, just a game back of the Celtics. But Miami and Orlando are the only warm weather cities in the entire Eastern Conference. In the Western Conference, you've got Houston, San Antonio, Dallas, Phoenix, L.A., two teams in L.A., mind you, for that. I mean, I would even venture to say Oklahoma City's a warm weather city. New Orleans, can't believe I forgot New Orleans. That's probably it as far as the warm weather cities. I mean, the Warriors and the Kings aren't in cold weather. I mean, it gets chilly in Northern California. It doesn't really get cold. Those are places people want to play. Do you want to spend your winter in Philadelphia, or do you want to spend it in Dallas?
I don't think that's even a question.
Seriously.
It's Dallas every day of the week.
Outside of New York, New York City gets a pass because it's New York City. Fine. Do you want to spend your winters in Boston or Houston? Granted, you're playing through the winter, so you're traveling and doing all this stuff. But do you want your family to sit there and do that? Also, you want to pay property taxes in Massachusetts or Texas? You want to pay income tax in Massachusetts or Texas? Texas doesn't have an income tax. Neither does Arizona. California does, and their taxes are outrageous, but you get to live in L.A. when you have enough money to actually live in L.A. and not fight traffic all the time. I mean, I think Western Conference cities, for the most part, are just nicer than Eastern Conference cities. I mean, if I'm thinking about it, I don't want to live in Miami, but I get players love it. Miami's cool. No one wants to go live in Orlando. It's not on the beach. Disney World's super cool, but nah. I don't know. I just think the competitive balance, I want to say it's going to go in cycles, but I'm pretty convinced that the Western Conference is going to stay on top. And I know it sounds silly, but I think the warm weather cities have a lot to do with that. When we come back, we wrap up the show. Thank you for spending your time with us. This is SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
This hour of SB Nation Radio has been presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Craig Koshkin sitting in on a Monday night. Alex Gold of the Gold Standard joins me. Alex, what's coming up on your show?
Well, a lot about Monday Night Football, what we've seen so far tonight. And, of course, from a perspective here, you know, this is one of those shows that's always
No rooting interest, right?
None whatsoever.
You sit in your Pat Mahomes jersey?
Yeah, none whatsoever. So we'll have that. You'll hear me go crazy if the Chiefs end up blowing this game, which I fully expect to have happen. And also, just what's gone on here in Week 11 of the NFL season, starting with the Baltimore Ravens, what we continue to see from Lamar Jackson. I'm sure you talked about that as well.
Yeah, you know, I talked about it more from the perspective of, here we go again with the Texans, big-time game, chance to prove you belong among the elite, and blow it. And just not even blow it, like in epic fashion.
They were never in the game. I understand the terrible no-call on the P.I. Hopkins, and I buy into that it shifts the way the game goes, but still, that you can't go and say, oh, that's...
See, I don't even buy that it shifts the way the game goes. My whole stance is that just because it's a blowout doesn't preclude you from doing your job right.
For sure.
If you're the official.
Oh, for sure.
And that's my stance on it.
Although that play, remember that play happened when it was 0-0.
It did happen when it was 0-0, and it could have been a lead for the Texans. Yeah. It would either have been a touchdown catch or have the ball at the two.
Right.
One of the two things. But it just, what a charade this entire challenge pass interference. It's an overreaction to the worst no call in NFL history.
Why is it taking 11 weeks? Well, even it's taken more than 11 weeks. Why is it taking 11 weeks, though, for coaches to realize, you know what, maybe I shouldn't waste my timeout. I'm under the impression that they're doing it just so they know that we all know, like, that they're letting us know that, yeah, we know that was a terrible call as well. I'm talking about from the coaching perspective, because otherwise it makes no sense. You're throwing them away.
They're in a lose-lose situation. Throw a timeout away or act like you don't care that the refs are missing blatant calls out there.
That's what's happened.
It's really a joke, and I feel bad for the coaches. I at one time felt bad for the refs for them even putting this rule into play because it shouldn't have been, but that still doesn't preclude you from doing your job correctly.
Luckily, it's a one-and-done type of rule.
There's no way it's back next year. I mean, it's clear the refs just don't care about the rule and are going to let their ego ride on this one.
Well, New York's not going to, quote unquote, embarrass the refs on the field, is what it is.
They should embarrass them because it's embarrassing to watch what they're doing. That's Alex Gold. He'll be up in the next hour. Thanks, Alex, for talking with us for a minute. It's been fun being here with you. Alex Gold on the other side. This is SB Nation Radio.